Good evening, church. I appreciate our worship team. We're glad to have Mr. Josh back from the president. Let us have him back. Yeah. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are going to hear about it. But anyway, well, I believe that the Lord has given me a word for us tonight. Amen. So I want us to pray. Lord, we don't take it lightly, but Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that this seed of the word would fall on good ground. Lord, that we will cherish it until it brings forth a great harvest in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it is, you know, God has no accidents. But for me, this has been an accidental series because this is the fourth week, I think, yeah, that I've talked about prayer and on Wednesday night. And, you know, I know the Lord had it planned, but, man, I didn't know. It's just come one at a time for me. But that's not that unusual. The Lord deals with me that way many times. I don't know about you, but anyway, we're going to talk about persistent prayer. Before we really get into that, I'll tell you a story about a young man. He goes to the drugstore. You know, this is years ago. He goes down to the drugstore, and he's going to buy some chocolates for his new girlfriend. And he gets a large box, a medium box, and a small box. Well, the pharmacist is like, why are you doing that? Why would you buy three different boxes of chocolates, different sizes? He says, well, I'm going over to have dinner at my girlfriend's house tonight. And, you know, if she just lets me hold her hand, well, I'm going to give her the little box of chocolates. If she lets me kiss her on the cheek, I'm going to give her the medium box of chocolates. And if she lets me kiss her on the lips, well, I'm going to give her the big box of chocolates. Well, as it goes that evening, he volunteers to pray over dinner at his girlfriend's house that evening and just prays a really, really, really long time. You ever been with one of those people? You know, the food's cold when they get done. And his girlfriend says, wow, I didn't know that you were so religious. He said, yeah, I didn't know that your dad was the pharmacist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've said it every week, I think, but the reason that people don't pray more is because they don't really believe that it will matter. And I want to tell you tonight, the reason that people give up is because they stopped believing that it will matter. Luke 18, 1 through 8, we're going back to this passage of Scripture. Again, Jesus tells a parable. It says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. It's supposed to be like the three-year-old boy that Paul Harvey told about. And he goes to the store with his mom, and she tells him right from the beginning, you're not getting any chocolate chip cookies, so don't ask. Well, she sits him in the seat of the basket, starts going down the aisles. They get to the cookie section, and he says, Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies? And she said, I told you, don't even ask. You're not getting any at all. Now be quiet. Well, they continued going up and down the aisles. And after a little while, he says, Mom, could I please have some chocolate chip cookies? She said, no, don't ask me anymore. Well, they get up to the checkout, and he realizes this is his last chance, you know. And he says really loud, Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies? Well, what happened was is a bunch of other customers heard this tearful plea, and they bought so many chocolate chip cookies that they had a long, long supply. Well, I don't know if that's really an accurate description of this parable, but I just want to tell you that we need to be persistent in prayer and not give up. Now, we're not talking about chocolate chip cookies, and we're not talking about getting our way with God. Amen? But I want to read this first verse to you from the NIV. It's just a little clearer. It says, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Not give up. You see, here's the thing. You do one of the two. That's our choice. We either always pray or we give up. You either keep praying or you give up. That's our choice. And Jesus tells us this parable for this end, that we will always pray and not give up. We do one or the other. So here's the parable. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Now I want you to realize that Jesus is telling this story. He is telling this story to people who live in a culture where, first of all, just a woman coming to a judge probably wouldn't get anywhere, and especially not a widow woman. She has no power, no influence, no right to be coming to this judge. But what makes it much, much worse is this is an ungodly judge. He has no regard for man or God. In other words, things are really stacked against her. But how does she get her answer? By being persistent. I want to tell you before we go any further, Jesus teaches us that we are not heard by our many words. I want you to understand that when we talk about being persistent in prayer, we're not talking about wearing God down. We're not talking about that if we just pray long enough and hard enough, then God will finally get with the program and do what we want. We're not talking about that this is how we twist the arm of God and get him to do what we want. We are not pagans. Remember the story of Elijah and the false prophets of Baal and how they cut themselves and ran around screaming, and Elijah just made fun of them. All he had to do was ask and the fire fell. And I'm just telling you that we are not pagans. We are not heard by our many words. It doesn't matter how loud you scream. It doesn't matter how long you pray in tongues. Listen, none of that is going to twist God's arm. That's not how you move God. Faith moves God. But I want you to understand something here, though. When we're talking about persistent prayer, we're not talking about an unjust judge that we are going to wear out until he finally gives in and does what we want. No, that is not at all what Jesus is saying here. In fact, he makes it very plain. He said, "Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." Speedily. Sometimes it doesn't happen on our timetable. But when it happens, it's, you know, it's amazing how you can pray about something for a long time, and then all of the sudden, you see the fulfillment of it in a day or a moment. It's amazing how God can bring things to pass in miracle fashion. But we're going to talk about this story. We need to get a hold of these principles here tonight, because I'm telling you that most often believers end up giving up instead of being persistent in prayer. There's a real powerful principle we need to get hold of here of being persistent in prayer, that we don't give up, that we just keep praying. This is what the Lord Jesus said that men ought always to do. This is what he wants us to do, is to be persistent in prayer. And now, one more time, I want to say, this story that Jesus tells, he's not telling us how our Heavenly Father is when he tells us about an unjust judge. He's telling a story of contrast. He's saying how much more, listen, if the unjust judge, this ungodly pagan, if he will give in to the persistent widow, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who loves you, who wants to bless you, the scripture says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. See, how much more will your Heavenly Father answer your prayer? Well, that's true. Why don't he get at it? Why don't he just go ahead and do it? I want to tell you, we have to be persistent. Well, I prayed for 2 minutes one day, and nothing has happened. I think sometimes it sounds like, maybe it comes across like, I'm just down on the church in America. And I want you to know I'm not. I think that God is using the church in America in a mighty, mighty way. And that there are great days ahead for the church in America. But we do have some rather peculiar issues and some strong battles, some strongholds that need to come down. And one of them is that we have so tried to adapt the gospel and scripture and the principles of scripture to fit in to our culture, our instant microwavable culture, where we want everything fast and easy. Because I'm telling you, around the world and a lot of other cultures, praying and being persistent in prayer doesn't seem like quite as much of a challenge. I just wonder sometimes what our culture would be like if we had no electronics, no TV, no internet, no cell phone, not even a radio. Some of us would have a whole lot more time to pray, just saying. It'd be a lot easier for us to be persistent in prayer. But it's not just the time involved. It's that attitude of that, well, you know what? I prayed once, it ought to happen. No, you got to be persistent in prayer. James 1, 6 through 8 tells us, let him ask in faith with no doubting. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You see, when you pray and then you say, well, nothing happened. And nothing's going to happen. You see, you can say nothing's happened yet. But when you give up, nothing's going to happen. You gotta stay on. You gotta be persistent. You gotta keep believing. You need to keep praying. You need to keep expecting. Because when you start going back and forth, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't let that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. No, you gotta be persistent. See, we gotta understand that there are many battles that are not won by throwing up a quick prayer. Now, we know that.
We certainly know that because there's a lot of battles that we haven't won by throwing up a quick prayer. So we know that. But we need to understand that those battles can be won by persistent prayer. See, you know, and sometimes, let me just explain this to you. Sometimes when you're dealing with human wills and devils, principalities and powers, you know, we were praying about the human trafficking and things like that tonight. I'm just telling you, some of those things are not, you throw up a quick prayer. No, it's warfare, and it takes persistent prayer that you just keep coming and keep hammering away, not because you're twisting God's arm, but I'm telling you, because there are things in the spirit world that have to be taken care of. Now, we'll come back to that a little later, but I just want you to know there are times when we pray, and just one time, and something happens, a miracle happens. But there are also times that we have to be persistent. And I'm telling you, see this principle in the scripture over and over and over. Not only where Jesus teaches it very plainly, but 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That's being persistent. Romans 12:12, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Steadfastly, you just keep praying. Ephesians 6:18, we talked about this with last week, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You see, that's persistent prayer. Colossians 4:2, continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Vigilant. You just have to stay after it and stay after it and stay after it. Oh, preacher, that sounds like a lot of work to me. I don't know if it's worth all that. Well, I don't know what you're praying about, but I know I'm praying about some things that's worth all that. And this whole attitude of our lazy culture, we need to get it out of our walk with God and our spiritual life. That, hey, it may not come quick and it may not come easy, but I'm going to pray. And I'm going to keep praying because I'm not giving up. That's not an option. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not give up. And I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep praying. You know, Jesus is our example in prayer. In Hebrews 7:25, it says he always, always, always lives to make intercession for us. Romans 8:34, it says that Christ is risen. He's at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, if he prayed like a lot of people, well, he would just say one time, Father, save everyone, set everyone free, heal everyone, bless everyone, in my name, amen. And then he'd go watch TV or surf the net. I love sarcasm, don't I, darling? But not everybody does. But anyway, we think we're so busy. We're so overwhelmed with our schedule, with our own self-importance. Persistent prayer will bring you to a place where you're truly relying on God instead of ourselves. Brings us to a place of complete dependence on God, that we just keep talking to God and praying. We know the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we should always be believing the Lord. Well, Lord, if you would just do this one thing for me, just this one thing. I mean, this is the big thing in my life. If you just do this one thing for me, I would never ask you for anything else. Well, the Lord sure doesn't want that. Because he wants you to always be believing. He wants you to live a life of faith, always believing. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you got to always be using your faith.
Jesus gives us another illustration about persistent prayer. It's Luke 11, 5 through 10. It says, he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in the bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and the man who knocks, it will be opened. Now, the English translation here doesn't really give a clear picture of those last two verses. Ask, seek, and knock. Remember, Jesus is talking about a story of a man who, because of his persistence, he didn't just ask one time. He didn't just knock on the door one time. No, he was persistent. And so his friend finally gets up and gives him what he wants. In fact, the verbs here, you see, we don't have a clear picture of this. We don't have an English word that can just take the place of the Greek word that's there. This is a linear verb. When he says ask, it is an ongoing process. It's to ask and keep on asking. It's to seek and keep on seeking. It's to keep on knocking. And you see, that we see that in the story that he tells, because the man was persistent. In fact, there's a translation that it's called the Woost Expanded Translation, and it uses as many English words as are necessary to translate the meaning, however many it takes. And so here it is in Woost Expanded Translation. He says, I'm saying to you, keep on asking for something to be given, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Keep on reverently knocking, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking for something to be given keeps on receiving. And he that keeps on seeking keeps on finding. And to the one who keeps on reverently knocking, it shall be opened. I'm just telling you. There are times when you ask and you know that it's done. So let me just say this clearly. You see, when you pray about something, there's you either give up or you pray until you know it's done. And once you know it's done, there's no more worry. There's no more sorrow. There's no, oh, what are we going to do? What if God doesn't do it? No, I'm talking about when you know that it's done and you're just thanking God. Praise God. One of the two. You either pray until you know, you persist until you know, or you give up. So we're going to get down to it now. 10 minutes. We're going to go fast, okay? Why don't the answers come quickly? More than anything else, he wants a relationship with us. And persistent prayer focuses our attention on the Lord. You see, so many people trying to have this kind of relationship with Jesus. Lord, you know I need this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll talk to you again in a couple of days, you know. No, he wants us to be persistent. He wants an ongoing relationship with us. And there's nothing like persistent prayer that keeps us focused on God, relying on him. Why don't things happen quickly? Sometimes it's because he has something better. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, said that if God had answered all of her prayers, she would have married the wrong guy several times. In fact, I know in this auditorium tonight, there are some of you that would have married the wrong person if God would have answered your prayers. I myself would have married a redheaded she-devil and lived a life of torment. Instead, in God's timing, he brought to me the sweetest, most perfect wife. And I'm just telling you, you see, oh God, why won't you answer my prayer? Because maybe he's got something better. sometimes in the delay, we change what we're actually praying for. Yeah, we do. We learn something along the way. Why is there a delay sometimes? Why isn't it on my timetable? Well, because his timing is perfect. His timing is perfect, and guess what? Yours is not. He knows what we don't know. You ever thought about Joshua and Caleb? You know, they come back, and they had the good report. They had the faith to go in and possess the land. But, you know, because of the rest of the Israelites, they were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. And you're like, man, that just ain't right. But God knows. In the first place, it sure was the grace and mercy of God that he didn't let them go in with that bunch, unbelieving bunch of people. But also, God was developing something in them. I mean, I don't think Joshua was ready 40 years earlier. You get into all kinds of things. Well, what about Moses? I mean, could he? I don't know. See, God knows and we don't. But his timing is perfect. They come to the, you know, when they finally do go in and they come to the walls of Jericho and they have to march around for 7 days. Well, that's dumb. Why can't we just, you know, go up and shout and not forget all that marching around 7 days? In Jesus' name, we have great faith. We'll just, I don't know. I just know that God has a timing. Maybe it was the anticipation and the expectation of God's people that was building and building for 7 days until when they shouted, they went in. And maybe for 7 days, their enemies were becoming more and more fearful. I don't know. But I just know that God's timing is perfect. And we have to be persistent in prayer and not give up just because it didn't happen in our time frame, just because it wasn't the way that we thought it was supposed to be. I remember when I was 19 years old, and I was going to a church and serving at a church and real involved, and the pastor told me, he said, I want you to work with our junior high, and he had vision to have a junior high youth pastor, and I was believing that I would be that junior high youth pastor, and he was acting like that was kind of the thing, but he put one of the elders of the church over the youth department, and the guy didn't like me, and he stuck another guy in and just kind of pushed me out of the way. The pastor didn't even know about it till much later, but he was like, why did you stop working with the junior high? And, you know, it just broke my heart. And I ended up going to Bible college. And then after a year at Bible college, I started working at a church. Was there for about a year and a half. And Carmen and I got together. And lo and behold, Grace Temple Church asked me to come be their junior high youth pastor. Now, this is back in 1982. There is only a handful of junior high youth pastors in the whole nation. Now, God fulfilled that in his time, in his way. And it was amazing to me. But I'm just telling you, so often we get our little hearts broke because things don't happen in our time and the way that we think that it ought to be. But when God does it, it's always so much better. Why? Why do we have to be persistent? Because he wants to mature us. There are things that need to be accomplished in us that only come by the trying of our faith. He wants to grow our faith. Listen, faith that is never stretched never grows. Instant answers to prayer don't require much faith. No, what requires faith is when you have to be persistent and keep praying. Abraham is the father of faith. This great man of faith waited for his promised child until he was 100 years old. Now, that's a long time for you and your wife to have your first child. But he waited 25 years after he got the promise. 25 years. He walks this walk of faith. No evidence that it's happening. 25 years. The father of faith the friend of God. And this great man of faith came to a place in his faith, such great faith, that when God told him to take his only son and sacrifice him, he was willing to do exactly what God said. Now, listen, that'll get you put in jail or the nut hut permanently, right? But Abraham's faith was at such a level that he just believed God would just raise him back up from the dead. How do you get there? The trying of your faith for 25 years. Oh, I want to have great faith like Abraham. It ain't going to be easy. James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, God develops something in you through persistent prayer. It is that trying of your faith. In the NIV, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, there is a maturity that comes. See, there's a maturity, a completeness that comes through the trying of your faith in your relationship with God. I'm telling you, Abraham was called the friend of God. He had some kind of relationship with God. When God gets ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, will I hide this from Abraham? And he talks to Abraham about it. How do you get that kind of relationship with God? The trying of your faith. You see, there's a maturity, there's a completeness in that relationship with God, learning to walk with God by faith as you keep on believing Him. There's a maturity that comes, I got to tell you, a completeness that comes in compassion. You know, when you've been through something like that, you learn compassion. You learn how to pray and how to minister to other people. There's a maturity, there's a completeness that comes in your character that wasn't there before. I can tell you that some of the battles me and Carmen have been through, it just has radically changed us. There's a maturity that comes in your spiritual warfare. It wasn't there before. See, that's what James is talking about when he says the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And by the way, I like that much better than the patience, because in our culture, we think of patience as just sitting around waiting. And there's a waiting that's involved. I hate that part. I really do. That's my problem with persistent prayer. I hate the patience part. But the perseverance part, you know, it's talking about more than just sitting around. It's talking about keeping going. Just keep going. Refusing to give up. That's what Jesus said, don't give up. And when we don't give up, we just keep going. You see, there is a maturity, he says, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, there's a change that takes place in you. And we're like, God, I don't care about all that. I just want what I want, and I want it now. Like a six-year-old wanting to drive the car. You're going to have to wait, sweetheart. There are some things that need to be developed in you before you're going to be ready to drive the car, and it ain't going to happen tomorrow. Now, I can tell you, you can go find you a preacher online that's going to tell you the secret key to having all your prayers answered today. Well, you just tell me how that works out for you. Because I'm telling you what Jesus taught was persistent prayer. Don't give up, but always pray. And twice, he tells a parable or story about being persistent. Not what we want to hear, but it's what works. In 2004, Carmen and I came back to Grace to be pastors. And the church had already started a building fund. The leadership knew that they needed to move. And so when I came back, we started looking for buildings already built so that we could just move straight away. And it just seemed like all the doors closed and nothing worked out. It seemed like eternity to me. But finally in 2006, we bought this property and we leased a space here in Burleson. And most of you know, we were there from 2007, January 2007 until mid-summer of 2014, we moved into this building. So about 8 years, almost 8 years after we bought this property, we finally moved into the building. And, you know, what you may not know is that when we signed the lease on the lease space, I would not sign a lease for longer than 18 months, which is really unusual. Most landlords won't even do a commercial lease for that short, but I was like, we'll be in our new building in 18 months. Well, yeah, almost 8 years later, we are in our new building. And I just got to tell you, that was not on my timetable. That was not what I was believing for. Why didn't it happen faster? I don't know. Maybe I wasn't ready. I know God was still developing me. I know He's still maturing me. I know that I'm not the same person I was in 2007. Maybe some of you weren't ready. I don't know. Maybe it had to do with the spiritual warfare that was taking place. But here's what I do know. We had to be persistent and not give up. Even when people said it'll never happen, we had to be persistent and not give up. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. We're not going to give up. Got to be persistent in prayer because there is a spiritual battle. There's a resistance against us. Persistence will defeat resistance. Let me tell you, when you lose, when you give up. I'm not going to take a lot of time here, but many of you know the story. By the way, if you want to read the whole thing, it's in Daniel chapter 10. But Daniel got a message from God. He is praying and fasting. It says he was fasting for 21 days. We know he was praying too because we know what Daniel's custom was, morning, noon, and night. He prayed three times a day. So we know he was praying, but he was also fasting for 21 days. And when the messenger from God finally shows up, he says, from the day you prayed, your answer was sent. And it says this, he says, verse 13 of Daniel 10, he says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now, this is amazing, this picture we get of spiritual warfare where the archangel Michael, a war angel, had to come and help to get the message through. And then it finally came. And I'm just telling you that sometimes you got to be persistent in prayer because the answer's on the way, but there's a spiritual battle that's taking place. What if Daniel gave up on the 20th day? I believe the angel would have gone home because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't let that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. You have to be persistent. You can't give up. You can't give up. You can't give up. A young woman dreamed that she went to heaven, and one of the angels was showing her around a room, and she saw a stack of boxes in one corner, found her name on them, and she asked the angel what it meant. He said, well, you know, I And then she said, well, you know, I remember praying for these things when I was on earth. And the angel said, yeah, when any of God's children make requests to him, preparations are made to give the answer. But the angels are told that if the petitioner is not waiting for the answer, they are to return it and store it in the room. And you know what? I don't know if that's a clear picture of what happens or not, but I do know this, that when you're praying, there is a spiritual warfare that is taking place. And I do know this, that our faith can't fail, that we have to persevere, and we have to be standing in faith. If we give up, we lose. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Paul, this great man of faith, who went to the third heaven. Paul, a man who established so many churches, a man who raised the dead, healed the sick. Amazing things happened. And yet Satan hindered him. We're in a spiritual warfare. And I'm telling you, sometimes your answers are delayed because of that battle. That's why you have to be persistent. We don't see. You see, we don't always know what's going on in the background, if you will, of the spirit world. But there are things that are happening. It's like when you're at a theater of a play, and you know they close the curtain and they're setting up the set and everybody's moving things. But what if they forget to dim the lights and close the curtain and you see all that action? You see, we don't see all that going on in the spirit world, but I'm telling you, the stage is being set and things are coming together. God is getting things ready, but you have to be persistent in prayer. And not give up. How many of you think, I need to do some praying? Amen. That's good. I'm going to let you go then. Stand with me, Father. I just pray you bless your people. And Lord, that we would just be fired up to pray like never before. Stir it up in us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless you.